This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. Good Up is our space to talk about those experiences in life we didn't know we all had in common. We're the after work happy hour conversation with your best friend.
You good up bad, like, hello.
The place where you bring up the hard parts of life, the ones that made you laugh, and the things that made you who you are. Because who said becoming good up wasn't a little bit uncomfortable? Stay tuned for more information about this week's episode.
Here at the Good Up Pod, we're all about shedding light on life experiences that have contributed to who we are and learning to navigate them to find a feeling that's, well, you know, good up.
For some of us, that journey includes therapy. Empath Psychological Services operates with the belief that life's challenges are not all of who we are.
They aim to create a non-judgmental environment to help their clients harness their own power and to find their path to mental well-being. Good Up and Empath Psychological Services share a passion for helping others navigate their own healing their way.
If you're interested in teletherapy services in the U.S. Virgin Islands or the state of Texas, check out the link in the description box for more information on how you can book a session with Empath Psychological Services.
Welcome back to the Good Up Podcast. I'm your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
And I am Shira Seven, the official Sprinkle Sprinkle Queen of this dimension. Sorry, welcome back to the show.
I love it. We are so glad to be back. This is our second episode of the season. And if you're back with us, that means you're one of the realest motherfuckers on the planet. Don't know what else to say. Today we're talking about something very important, which is what happens when you don't listen and everybody tells you to rest and you just like, I could rest later. And
well, you know what the elders say.
What do the elders say?
Who don't hear us feel.
Okay. Fire bun a fucking bun out. Okay. So yeah.
Is that the name of the episode?
Can Fire bun bun out might be the episode here. So today we're talking about burnout. I think burnout is something that Deidre and I know very intimately right now. We talked about
she's
it
the third co-host
bit. Yeah, burnout is a third unofficial co-host at a Good Up Podcast. Yeah,
she's covering for the ice cream truck.
she really is. And for Dylan,
if y'all are day one listeners, y'all know the ice cream truck is the third co-host.
Yeah. No matter what, it's funny, we're getting into the summer, so the ice cream truck about to be rolling out very shortly,
very soon.
But yeah, burnout is something we know very intimately. I think it's something a lot of our listeners know intimately. And it's a theme for us right now because burnout has kind of prevented us from really coming back to this space and coming back to this show. So we wanted to talk about like what leads to burnout. Like why do we continue to put ourselves in this position? Why don't we learn our motherfucking lessons? Like, why are we back here, DJ?
Girl, because you know what? We are stubborn. That's the real tea. We're stubborn. I kind of was having this conversation. It wasn't a conversation with myself. I'm pretty sure it was like my spirit guide. Like, bitch, we done been through this before. And here we are again. Right? Because here I am dramatically leaving yet another job.
You love a good dramatic exit, though. I will say, like,
ever since I left my ghetto ass corporate job, one thing about me, I'm not afraid to be like, maybe I'm not a good fit. Like, am I just not a good fit? Cause I could go fit someplace else, you know, like just let me know. But all that aside, like burnout really had her foot both to our neck. And the interesting thing is I feel like I recently heard somewhere that burnout or one of the things that are like detrimental to people looks different on Black women. It might be anxiety.
Yeah, but, and I have some, you know how to pull up my little facts, my little articles.
Thank you, because you know
my little sources.
Thank you, because you're very good for that. Mm-hmm. Even when I'm burned out, I don't recognize that I'm burned out, and it's not until my immune system is compromised and I'm in the hospital for a couple of days.
Which is that, we trying to get around that, Deidre. We're trying to avoid the hospital needing to be your gaslight for when burnout happening.
Like,
I need you to fill the tank halfway, Deidre.
Like, I don't fully just be, like, completely spent. And then that's when I realize, oh, shit, it's time to rest. Deidre, what is wrong with you?
So, we don't have to lead with a definition. So let's talk about how burnout is defined. So keep in mind that most of the time when we're talking about burnout, a lot of times it's specific to the workplace, because for a lot of people, burnout originates in their workspaces, whether you work in like a traditional career or whatever you do on your day to day. 9 times out of 10, that's where your burnout originates, and then it sort of bleeds into other things. And the reason for that, obviously, is because we spend the majority of our times at work. Most of us do. Yeah. So burnout is a syndrome conceptualized as resulting from chronic workplace stress that has not been successfully managed. Mm-hmm. It is characterized by 3 dimensions. 1, feelings of energy depletion or exhaustion. 2, increased mental distance from one's job, or feelings of negativism or cynicism related to one's job. That's that whole thing was 2. What's 3? And then 3 is reduced professional efficiency. So first, you know, that's the 3 signs of burnout. First, you don't get tired. Yeah. Then you just start to distance yourself because you tired. Yeah. And 3, you just start to bullshit because you don't distance yourself because you're tired.
That's you burnout. Know that and this is probably where it looks different for Black women, because we are so. I feel like we always do the most, right? Mm-hmm. Even when we're doing the most for those who don't deserve it, and I feel like we never really get to that point of fucking up or dicking around, mm-hmm. because we really have accepted that we have to work twice as hard to get half as much.
Yep.
So we be experiencing 1 and 2 and refuse to accept 3, and then 1 and 2 be getting stronger, yep. while we're killing ourselves to continue to be good at whatever we're doing.
Yep.
And then we'll just like pass out.
According to everylevelleads.com, I'm going to start citing my sources.
Yes, ma'am.
The core reason Black women are more likely to experience burnout is that the spectrum of what they deal with regularly at work expands beyond their white colleagues. So basically exactly what you just said. The reason we're more likely to experience burnout is because we have to go 10 times harder to get half as much. They did a research survey to learn more information about like Black women and burnout. And the results that they got was that 78% of Black women report that they sometimes, rarely, or never have the ability to go home at the end of the workday with any energy in reserve. So we leave work every day depleted. Yeah. 88% of Black women sometimes have often or always experience burnout. So some level of burnout, 88% of Black women are experiencing.
That's a high number.
And then coupled with those burnout factors are these additional identity-based stressors. 72% of Black women engage in code switching. We are going to talk about that at length because if you're listening to this and you are an African-American woman or a Caribbean-American woman, but if you're a Black woman,
you code period, switch. Regardless of where in the diaspora, Black women be in these streets code switching like motherfucking engineers creating codes in these motherfuckers. Okay.
And then the data shows that Black women are dealing with microaggressions, bias, sexism, and racism, and carrying immense emotional loads as one of the few mentors or safe spaces for other BIPOC colleagues. Essentially, all of that summarizes like all of these different factors that go into burnout, right? We are carrying, and there might be other people of other demographics and genders who are listening to this episode who this also applies to, because obviously Black women aren't the only ones who experience burnout, but we experience it for very unique reasons, and we experience it with a frequency I think that other people don't because of those unique reasons, right?
Yeah.
So what does burnout look like for you personally? I know they said, you know, there's signs of exhaustion, then there's mental distancing, then you start doing your job inefficiently. But for you personally, what is the first like inkling of like, oh, I'm starting to experience burnout?
When my emotions get involved in the workplace. I'm not saying that I'm not able to manage my emotions, but the minute my emotions are brought into the workplace and that at some point I'm crying, that's when I know I'm burned out.
It's similar for me. I get very emotional, very aggravated by everything. I start to take things really personally. Like every little thing starts to like piss me off and I'd just be ready to fight, which is me in general, but it'll get really like just heightened, right? The other part of it is when I start wanting to drop everything, when I feel like I can't even like do this little one favor for this one person that normally would not inconvenience me that much, that's when I know like, okay, I'm experiencing burnout.
I'm glad you brought that up. Because another thing for me is like when I'm not able to properly, and I know a lot of people would liken this to depression, but when I'm not able to maintain some of my basic functions as well.
Yeah.
Because like my bedroom has been a mess for a minute.
But I think burnout does tie in to depression in a sense, right? Like a lot of my burnout leads me to go into that, like I'm failing, I'm not doing a good job. Why can't I produce the same like level? Why don't I have the same capacity as before? Now I fucking up. Like it automatically becomes like this cycle of this is your fault. Like it's not that you tired. It's you failing. Like all of a sudden you're just not performing as well. And it does start to involve depression because if I feel this way about myself and if I'm this tired, I ain't making nobody fucking bed.
Yeah. And you know what's crazy is even going back to that stat about not having any energy, that's really what it came down to. It's not that I wasn't cleaning my room because I was depressed. I didn't have the fucking energy to do it, you know? And I genuinely didn't have the energy because all my energy was being allocated to performing well at work. My average day would be me like going to work, obviously getting up and taking care of Dylan. And that's the other thing, because my energy is specifically, at least when I was working at that job, specifically allocated to being the best mom I can be to Dylan and being the best manager I can be at work. And baby girl, everything for me was like, what is that? Like non-existent. Like today I deep cleaned my bathroom and it felt so good.
So we see that women, especially Black women, are spending longer periods of time at work. We're working harder. We're trying to prove ourselves, and all of this is leading back to this level of burnout, right? And we know that it's leading to burnout, but we also know that no matter how hard we work, no matter how well we perform, no matter how much time and shit we pour in, it's not, one, it's not going to lead to perfection, but two, it's not always going to result in the people that we work for seeing us and responding to that level of labor with like the adequate type of like appreciation.
Right.
So what makes us as Black women, I think, you know, racism obviously is a part of it, but what makes us feel the need to perform at this high level at all times and to give this level of output to people who are never going to appreciate it?
I think a big part, I'm about to get eaten alive and that's okay. I think that originates in our homes. I think that it's not even a workplace thing. I think we've just been conditioned to feel like we have to put out a certain amount in order to earn love, acceptance, whatever the case may be. In because a typical,
it's not just given. We don't just get it. Doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. When you think about the average like household of color, not even just Black, household of color, right? Usually the girls are held to a higher standard than the boys. The boys are allowed to make mistakes, the girls are not. And so that does transfer into the workplace because we are conditioned to believe that in order to gain basic levels of love, respect, acceptance, we have to put out so much. I find myself wondering if the patriarchy kind of had a point about us not needing to be out there working all day because...
So... One, absolutely fucking not. Did you?
No. Let me finish, right?
I get where you're going with it.
Yeah, though. The method in which they took, I don't fucking agree with. But when I think about all that our bodies go through in just 1 month, the amount of changes that our body experiences in 28 to 32 days, when I think about the amount of energy that we exert in the workplace, right? And I think about the conditions that we were raised under. I think about, put all those little pieces together. I'm like, yo, that fuck the tech a lot outawi. And I'm like, maybe I'm not saying that I don't think that we were like designed to work, but I'm wondering, like, maybe we were designed to work in a different kind of way.
Yeah.
Cause when I reflect on the happiest I've ever been in my career, it's two times. It's most recently when I was doing readings full time. Cause for one, I created my own schedule. And I was able to really craft my schedule around me and Dylan's life. So I was able to take on a certain number of clients every day and still be present for Dylan and take him to soccer practice and things like that and be what I wanted to be, which was active in my household and keep my fucking household up. My house was always fucking clean, like, bruh. And I was always cooking and shit. Like, I felt I was so fulfilled and like satisfied at that time. The other time I can think of is this was years ago. This was back when I lived in St. Croix, when I was an office manager. I had such a high level of autonomy. Because the boss I had was very much just like, as long as your job gets done, we're good. So sometimes if I came to work and I wasn't really feeling it, I would leave and come back at like 9 o'clock at night. Like, and that was beautiful. You know what I mean? If I had to do something for Dylan, if I never missed doctor's appointments for Dylan when I had that level of like, so I don't know if it's a woman thing, like what our bodies go through, or if it's just me, the person. Cause I think maybe there are women who are able to go through like these 10-hour fucking work days and be fine and still come home and show up for their families. I don't know how.
I mean, if you're doing it, good for you, but I am sure that the burnout comes at some point in time if you don't already have a system to work actively against the burnout, right?
Right.
Because the reality of it is that even if we see women who appear to be doing it all, there is something in their lives that is falling short. Apart. And that I think that's the best piece of advice my boss has ever given me is one day I asked her how she does it all. And she was like, I don't. She was like, if I have a day where I really perform well at work and I'm able to get everything done here, my dishes go unwashed. Or maybe I didn't cook dinner at night. Or maybe I didn't call my daughter away at college. Like, I'll call her tomorrow. But if I call her tomorrow and spend more time on the phone with her, I'm probably trying to skip a meeting or do something like that, or not checking my email as much because I'm on the phone with her. Like, she straight up said, like, if you see somebody who appears to be doing it all, it's not that they're doing it all. It's that they're prioritizing one side of it that day.
And something else is failing. And that's real. That's so real.
It is. And I'm so glad she told me that, especially as a white woman who, you know, is a CEO of a company. Like, she just straight up tell me, like, I'm not fucking, I falling apart sometimes. Like, it's reality.
That honesty is really refreshing. And it is. Good, and it's what people need, because a lot of people are in workplaces where unrealistic expectations are dished out.
Yeah, and it's always dished out by people who can't meet them.
Who cannot meet them. Who fully cannot meet them.
But I will say this, because I wanted to respond to the patriarchy comment, right? What I was,
I know, that was so wild. I didn't have to ask.
No, I fully get your point. And I think sometimes I'll be like, shit, are the women who fought for the one, it was white women who fought for the right.
Because black women never was living that life. Black women never had that life.
Black women have never fully been the women who are allowed to stay home and be stay at home. We have always been laborers. We were brought to this country as laborers.
Exactly.
And there was no difference between the labor of a black woman and a black man when we were brought to this country.
Exactly. Right? And that's why I always get so annoyed when the podcast bros are like, what happened to the women who stay here? It's like, baby,
Susan B. Anthony, I don't know her.
Literally.
I don't know her.
Like, stop. Cut it out.
But what I will say is, patriarchy is a bitch, but capitalism is also a bitch, right?
Yes, honey.
So, one, we have never benefited from patriarchy, because even when women were allowed to stay home, we were living in oppressive households where we couldn't have our own bank accounts, could not have like access to money, access to power. All of the power that we gave up with the whole staying home thing was with the men, right?
I agree. Listen, I know all those things.
I get it. Right?
Something to make sense. Because I'm like, this shit ain't for me.
So I come into the point, right? My issue with it is that when we were given that power and when we were allowed to move into the walk space, then we had to buy into a capitalist system, right? So it's either I have financial power in this wall and I'm exhausted, or I don't. and I get to stay at home, but I have no type of power within my household economically.
It's true. I have to pay.
Subscribe to the patriarchy or I subscribe to capitalism is one of the fucking.
I have to pick one. And that's it's so funny because me and Daima were having a conversation recently because, first of all, fuck this commercialized soft life, soft girl life. And we talked about it last season. We're not going to talk about it this season, but.
Soft girl era.
Yeah, it's like y'all are fully misunderstanding the whole point, and having a soft life has nothing to do with having a man rescue you and all this shit. But what I will say is, I definitely, back when I really thought that I was gonna have a man, right? And even when I thought I had a man, we used to talk about essentially me staying at home and him like being the breadwinner because he was an attorney. The man got money, you know? Like, so we used to talk about that. Like, me staying at home, taking care of the home, because I love doing shit like that anyway. And then me having my business and not having this pressure to earn, right? This is something that he has brought up. Like, babe, how would you feel about, like, being the one to stay at home? And obviously, you run your business, you do what you got to do, but not having this pressure to earn. And I just, you know, earn the money. And then, you know, and I was like, what the fuck kind of dumbass question is that? Absolutely. Like, are you kidding me? That was absolutely, like, you know... But what that would have come with, especially which is why we're not together now, what it would have come with is me having to swallow and eat the fact that he gonna want to fuck whoever he want whenever he want.
Yeah.
And
that's not to say that every situation would be abusive like that, but there is...
But a lot of the time, that's the case. A lot of the
time it is. And even with the nicest, most considerate husband, when you are a person in a relationship who does not have any semblance of like power... or control, that begins to eat at you eventually, right?
Absolutely.
And then the other part of it is, and I think something that I don't want to negate, is that stay-at-home mothers also experience...
They're constantly working. Stay-at-home mothers are glorified slaves, okay? Yes. And the fact that every time women who have had partners who wanted that would be like, well, I don't really want that. Like, I make a lot of money at my job. Like, and the man is like, oh, but I'm supposed to work. I can't tell you how many women say, like, they say to that same man, like, okay, well, I make a lot of money. How about you stay home and I go to work? And the man would be like, absolutely not. That's like way too much work.
Yeah.
So it's not too much work for her, but it's too much work for you. Like, the math ain't mathin', babe. Like, make it make sense.
I remember there was a point in my relationship where we had to have a serious conversation about, like, just burnout and division of labor and a lot of stuff. And It funnily enough, it was a conversation about cooking, right? And obviously we've resolved this and I've gotten to the root of it, which is that my partner, as much as he loves cooking, his love language is acts of service. And even though I'm not someone who enjoys cooking, he would occasionally like for me to cook for him because like that's something that would make him feel loved, right? Now, the way he was communicating this though was given very much patriarchal poppy, okay? I was like, sir,
was he saying, girl, you a woman, get your ass in that kitchen?
It was jumping out a little bit though. He was just like, oh, like, you know, every now and then I would like for you to cook and this and that. And I was like, Steven. So my excuses was basically like, I am working in management now, right? So you could say we both have jobs, but my job is very different from your job because I guarantee you, you came home at 5 o'clock today, but I guarantee you, your manager is still at that fucking plant working right now. Okay.
Yeah.
So my situation and your situation is very different. Two, when it comes to the division of labor in the household, I do a lot more of the mental labor than he does sometimes because it's how, again, I was naturally brought up to think about the management of the household, right?
Absolutely.
And again, these are things that we're working through. These are things he has acknowledged. Like, he know what I'm talking about. It's not to say he'll be like, well, fuck it, you clean a bathroom. Like, ain't like that. So we've had those conversations where I'm like, it's more than just we both work, we both share chores in the house. It's I'm the person who thinks about when we're running out of salt and cleaning supplies because we don't need to do this. I'm the person who thinks about, okay, we need to make sure that we do X chore on this day because such and such coming over to stay in the house and I want to make sure the bathroom clean when they come. Like, shit like that, right?
Or even just remembering that trash night is on Tuesday, so we need to make sure that...
It's funny because I was like, Steven, which one of us has the app on our phone that says when the recycling day is? Because yes, we both take the recycling out, but who does the mental labor of remembering... mm-hmm. when the off Thursday is, the recycling is, or when this date is for this thing. Like, it's always me. Yeah. So we've been working on division of mental labor and stuff like that in our relationship. But I wrap in this all up to say, like, you know, he would ask that I cook more and all this stuff. And I'm like, you want me to go to work? You want me to support you or like help support the financial undertaking of this house? But you also want me to split chores with you. But you also want me to cook more, even though the way we've split chores has you taking care of most of the cooking and me taking care of most of the like cleaning and other stuff. Like, so now that you want me to cook, like, what the fuck else is there?
Yeah, left so for you to if cook? I'm so are you telling me that on the nights where I cook, I don't have to worry about the other chores that I do?
Like, right.
Because if that's the case, then let's talk about it.
So, and come to find out, obviously, like, we keep attacking the conversation more and more, and it ends up being just like a, I want you to show me love in this way, and not like a, I expect you to cook type thing. And we were obviously miscommunicating on that. But in that conversation, he was kind of enlightened to how much mental labor women take on. And I'm like, I go to work and I take on the mental labor of anybody who isn't Black automatically. I take on the mental labor of my team because I'm in management. I take on just my own shit.
Yeah.
And then I have to come home and then you you want me to do this here too. I'm exhausted. Yeah. I don't want to cook. Like, I will order just not even just pizza. I will order the most delicious meal from the best Indian restaurant in this town and go pick that shit up. Don't ask me to cook.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's very fair. And that's the, you know what? That's another way that I know that I'm burned out when I'm not cooking. Cause I actually really, I don't know what it is. I just love cooking, especially for my family. Like,
I have an aversion to cooking that I think through therapy one day I will acknowledge.
Yeah,
that it's related to my mom and the fact that she had to cook for her husband. Something about it just make me want to be like, nah, fuck you, eat bread. Like,
first of all, I don't know what it is, but I love cooking, but specifically for other people. Like, I love cooking for myself, obviously, because bitch, I like to eat. But it's something about feeding people that just brings me a certain level of joy.
Yeah.
And I lost it for a little bit, and maybe one day I'll tell the story about that. But I love cooking for other people, so. Another way that I know I'm burned out is when I don't have the bandwidth to cook for my family. Like, I cooked sometime recently, and like Dylan, my niece, we were all just so happy. Like, it was just like, yes, Deidre's back in the kitchen. The minute I just don't have it to cook, it's a wrap.
It's really cleaning. The cleaning falls off when I'm experiencing burnout. But it's mostly the things that I, and ironically, the things that I should be doing to help myself unwind and avoid stress and avoid burnout is what'll fall off first the minute I start to experience like a lot of stress. Or a lot
that make
of
a burnout. Lot of sense though, because
like that, I don't stop reading. I don't stop doing all this shit.
Yeah, in those moments, it's almost like, oh, this is not the top priority. So this is the easiest thing to let go of, you know, because with cooking and stuff, you have to eat, right? Mm-hmm. So reading is not a means of survival.
Yeah.
So I think, and you know what? I'm glad you brought that up, because I think I need to do a better job of not waiting until the things that are required to keep me alive fall off. I need to do a better job of recognizing I'm burned out before I get to the point where I'm realizing, oh shit, I don't even cook. Like, I just throw together something to keep me nourished. Yeah. You know, I also spend more money on takeout when I'm burned out. I mean, one, I just like good food and I like to eat out. I'm just a person who just enjoys those things. But when I'm at the point where I'm just like, fuck it, like, we just go order dinner again. I need to recognize that, girl, you are a little bit burned out, like fire bun butt out.
But I think even, it's not even that. I think, well, it is that, right? Let me not negate what you're saying. I think that we need to find more balance between like the things we do to get our rest and our like respite versus like the things that we're required to do on a daily basis, and like be okay with having balance with both things, right?
Yeah, I think
a lot of times the issue for some of us is we go to work, we outperform, we do all of this shit, and then we come home and give ourselves the expectation that we're gonna cook every single night because we need to eat healthy and we need to do this, right? But eating healthy can be, maybe I ordered from a restaurant and I chose a healthier option, but I ordered from a restaurant because it made my day easier today. Versus I need to hit 100% performance on all these things every day. And maybe it's I came home from work, and yes, I have to clean my kitchen and do dishes, but you know what? I had a hard day at work today. I'm going to sit on in my guest room and put my music on and read a book tonight instead of doing it. I could do all of that stuff later
at some point
during the week. Like,
yeah,
I need to do all of it. Like, everything needs to get done today. Because if I don't do these
things, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
Now, what I will say is we talked about this in the episode about finances. I have no problem outsourcing necessities. Like, y'all know, I barely do my own laundry. Like, I hardly do the only time you gonna catch me really doing my laundry is if I forgot to ask them to come get it and I need something washed sooner than they can come get my shit, right? I have no problem outsourcing things. And even like you said, like a lot of times when I decide, you know what, fine, I'm just gonna order something, I'm gonna order a healthy option. But it comes back to, I actually do like to cook. So if I'm realizing like I'd rather order food more, you know what I mean? Or even if I find that I'm leaning on convenient things too much, that's also something to keep an eye on. Because where normally I would rather season my chicken and pop it in the air fryer to mix with my bag salad, if I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna just go get a rotisserie chicken to go with this bag salad. If I'm doing that often, then it's like, Deidre, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know, I like jar salads. If I would rather just throw the bag in a damn bowl and grab a rotisserie chicken, rather do that and actually make my jar salads, then I need to keep an eye on that. And having like those convenient steps is very beneficial. It's necessary, you know? But if I'm just not making time to like enjoy the process, then I need to do something about that. Like,
yeah, I went to a conference in the beginning of May, and we had this conversation, or I went to a panel, and in the panel they had a conversation about this fear of failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the woman was like, who are we afraid of failing exactly? Yeah. Like, can you identify the person that you are afraid of failing? And if it's yourself, then why are you not addressing your expectations? If you're clearly not able to meet them and you are the person setting them, then why can't you just adjust them? If it's someone else, have they realistically set those expectations for you? Was that a conversation that you had? If not, then you making that shit up. You need to adjust your behavior. If you did have that conversation and you're unable to meet those expectations and it's resulting in you struggling with your health and all that stuff, you need to revisit that conversation. Like, she listed all these things of, like, when you think about this idea of failure, who are you failing? Like, who is the person that you're failing, right? When we go to school and we fail a test, clearly the result is, I didn't study enough, I didn't prepare enough, or I fail in this class, so I'm not doing what I need to do. So my teacher is either going to help me, or I'm going to help myself by doing what I need to do. But in the real world, we don't have this whole big idea of, like, I'm failing at life, but there's nobody that is holding us accountable.
Yeah, there's no actual judge of that. Yeah.
So then we're going through this cycle of burnout, right? Because we keep telling ourselves, I have to meet this expectation, I have to live up to these standards. But it's like, who gonna beat your ass? Like,
yeah, you know, I don't ask myself that. Shout out to you for that. Because I don't, some things where I'm like really putting pressure on myself to get it done. And then I'm like, Deidre, just take an extra day. Like, it'll be fine. Who gonna beat your ass? So even like earlier, I mentioned like my room has been a mess. My room is the only issue that I'm running into in my room right now. So y'all know I don't go wash my clothes, right? So then people that wash my clothes and fold them. But my bad habit is that I don't put the clothes away. They still sit on in a laundry bag. And I don't just kind of dig in there and find something to wear. So the issue I'm running into right now is I have two full laundry bags, and I only keep two laundry bags at a time. And of course, like my hamper. So typically once my hamper is full, then I throw everything in the laundry bag, throw Dylan's clothes in, and then I send it on its way and it comes back clean, right? And then my toxic trait is that I don't like actually take the folded clothes out and put them where they belong. Now, typically I do it when I have the time, when I'm not burned out, right? But right now, both my laundry bags are full of clean clothes. My hamper is full and I don't have space in my hamper for the dirty clothes. So I have like a pile of dirty clothes sitting next to my hamper. And I'm like, Deidre, this could all be avoided if you just emptied these laundry bags.
But it also could be avoided. And this is what I've learned. And obviously I'm not practicing what I'm preaching because I'm currently experiencing burnout, but if you make realistic time for things on a regular basis, like, the daunting task gets a lot smaller. Like, the other part of burnout and overwhelming ourselves is that we try to do it all in one day, right? We try to do the laundry and the dishes and the bathroom and all of that stuff in one cleaning day instead of maybe just mopping your floor on Monday, doing your laundry on Saturday and cleaning.
And that's exactly what I was about to get to, is because, so my room was a mess. My vanity was cluttered. So then I was like, oh my God, let me clean my room. Like, now that, like, let me just clean my room. So I finally start cleaning the room. I start with the vanity. The vanity is popping. I change the sheets. Like, and then all I had left was these stupid clothes. And then it was getting late. And I was like, dude, I'm going to just finish this tomorrow. Like, and then I said to myself, who going to beat my ass? Like, who going to beat my ass?
who going to beat your ass? When I tell Ayo, it is a mantra that I say to myself on such a regular basis. And it's so helpful to me, especially when we're talking about things like burnout. Like, if I don't do it today and I do it tomorrow, realistically, like, if I don't clean my bathroom today, sure, there is a slight possibility somebody's going to come over and might need to use the guest bathroom and it's not in the most best condition and it going to make me uncomfortable. Sure. But what's the likelihood of a bitch actually coming over?
Yeah. But it's, you know what? I'm glad. You know what? I want us to unpack the origins of who gonna beat my ass, because a big part of where that comes from, y'all, is because in our culture, if you go to bed with them motherfucking dishes in the sink, you get
somebody was going to beat your ass.
Somebody is going to beat your ass. Somebody is going to wake you up in the middle of the night to wash those fucking dishes. If your room, if your bedroom looks the way mine looked the last couple of days,
somebody is gonna beat your ass. You know what? I never realized that's where who gonna beat you.
That's why, because and the reality is somebody is going to beat your ass. And the reality is that's why we have such unrealistic or such high expectations.
My mother's version of a cleaning day was very much like, everything that can get cleaned is getting cleaned in this one day. Right,
that was my mom I took it was Saturday morning.
And every time I used to wake up,
and she's a blast, like her Celine Dion and shit, and we used to be listening.
Listen, every time, and I love Celine to death, you know. But it's a little traumatic.
No, here in my heart will go on. Definitely to have me like having like heart palpitations a little bit. Like, I'm like, oh God.
So I took that with me, and I feel like I've almost taken that with me in every aspect of my life. When I go to walk and I have a million tasks to do, every shit that could get done in this 8-hour day, sometimes 9, sometimes 10, I am going to attempt to do, instead of telling myself I could do it tomorrow. Who gonna beat my ass, right? The reality of it is I recognize the cycle of burnout, right? I know where it's coming from. I am aware of what I do to myself. And
yeah.
That it was funny, that code switching part in an article I was reading was also very important, because code switching is fucking exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
So like, I'm aware of all these things that are leading to my level of burnout. How the fuck do we get off the merry-go-round? Like, realistically, how do we start doing this to ourselves?
Oh, you said realistically, never mind. I was gonna say quit the job.
I mean,
so for some of us, that needs to be the case.
For some of us, yes, because we owe no loyalty to these jobs. And if financially it's a good idea for you to try to find another job that is more conducive to the lifestyle that you want, quit the fucking job. Like,
quit the job. And even so, I'm gonna tell y'all what I did. I decided, because I had to really have this conversation with myself, and this is where I said, like, my spirit guides were like, we've been here before, like, why are we still doing this? I had to sit with myself and recognize that every day that I spend working full time at somebody else's business is another day that my business is suffering. And I don't plan to be working for others for the rest of my life. I had to really sit and say, Deidre, you are here operating somebody else's business. You are here running somebody else's, or at least a portion of somebody else's business, because it's a bakery, it's a French bakery with 5 locations. So it's like, you're here operating a fraction of somebody's business, and you are keeping this shit alive and growing it in whatever way you're able to, and you're not doing that for your own business. And what's the point? You're literally watering a dead plant, or you're taking water from your well and watering somebody else's garden, and your garden is over here drying up. So I had to sit with myself and really be like, why are you doing this? You know, the reality is my business is not at a place yet where I'm comfortable relying on just my business for my income. So I had to say, okay, Deidre, so instead of working full-time for others and part-time for yourself, which I wasn't even working part-time for myself because I was too burned out to work with my clients, I said, okay, you need to fully leave this job and replenish yourself. So I need to prioritize pouring back into myself and kind of, you know, reviving the plants in my garden, get my rest, get my health back up. But I need to prioritize working full-time for myself and part-time for others.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so that's where I'm at. So that's the approach that I've decided to take. If you know where you're going, if you know the direction you're going in, you know what you want for yourself, you know how you want to spend your old age. Because I want to spend my old age in my garden tending to my flowers while my business is running itself. I can't get there if I'm still working for somebody else's business, right? Because guess what? I'm at this business being burned out, and the owner of the business I was most recently at
on vacation. Is
on vacation, literally skiing with her fucking family. Okay. So I'm like, Deidre, if you plan to be there, you have to make some changes in your life. And you need to let somebody who will be happier doing this job do this job. You need to let another hospitality professional, an emerging hospitality professional, take over this role because you're not even there anymore. The thing is even in my business, as my business grows, it's not even a hospitality business anymore. I've completely pivoted out of hospitality, and hospitality is going to be a factor in whatever I do because I'm a natural hospitable person, but I'm in the wellness space. So why am I wasting my energy in a space that I'm no longer a part of?
And why are you not walking a talk for the clients that you're about to be preaching wellness to?
Exactly.
You can't telling me to be well.
Exactly. Me, burnt out, telling y'all to prioritize your wellness. And I can't just go to the gym and do some fucking Bulgarian split squats and tell y'all, that's not enough. You know, because wellness is all encompassing. It's not just the body. So I had to make that decision. So I think that's where Black, and I'm speaking to Black women specifically, because that study, those numbers are so alarming and sad. For Black women, it needs to start with us knowing what we want for ourselves and then realistically saying, okay, what is it going to take for me to get there? Whether it's cutting back your hours, I've been seeing TikToks of random people being like, yo, I left my high stress job and now I work at Target and I'm so fucking happy.
Mm-hmm. Or people looking for remote opportunities or, you know, all of that other shit. For me, I gonna specifically talk to the people where leaving your job is probably not the realistic option right now. For me, it was as simple as taking the fucking PTO that I earned because I wasn't taking it. I was working and working and working. And you know when it really hit me? I'm going to be honest with you. It hit me this past weekend when I was sitting in my bed using a fucking inhaler to breathe because I had COVID and had extra complications with my COVID. Yeah. I had been, the last day I took off or the last set of days I took off before this past weekend was my birthday, which was in April. We're in June, right?
Mm.
I got sick going into Memorial Day weekend. We had Memorial Day off, and I didn't feel ready to go back into work the day after. So I took that one day when I had COVID. I took one day of PTO. Everything else, it just so happened it was a weekend and a holiday.
Mm.
One day of PTO, and I went back to work the Wednesday and was still experiencing COVID symptoms, but I was working remotely, right? Thankfully, I have a flexible job, but to be honest, I shouldn't even go back to work on a Wednesday. You shouldn't have.
No. If you're sick, you need to be focused on resting.
Yeah. It's been more than a week since I got diagnosed with COVID, and I'm still I'm not 100% at all. Yeah. I don't feel like myself. And I'm working, and I'm able to do it, but it's why didn't you just take the time off? So anyway, I say that all to say, before I got COVID, I had been finding ways to work around my fun, if that makes sense, right? I was doing things that I enjoy, but I was still going back to work right after. I went to the Lizzo concert. I stayed overnight in Phoenix, but I went to Phoenix because I had a meeting in Phoenix that weekend anyway. I woke up 5 o'clock the next morning after the Lizzo concert and drive straight to work. I went to work afterwards. So I was prioritizing my job, obviously, because it's high priority and I have all of this stuff to do. But what did it result in? Did all of the stuff get done anyway? Yes, right? But what happened? I end up sick in my fucking bed, falling apart because I wasn't prioritizing my rest, right? I wasn't doing any other things that I know helped me to unwind from work. So for the people who, you know, you're working this job, it's not the most realistic option to leave the job because it's financially stable and, you know, you just don't have as flexible of an option to leave. It's really the little things. It's, am I leaving this place when my work day is done? Or am I staying extra time because I feel like I need to do all of this shit? It's really asking yourself, can I just do this tomorrow? Can I take the time to come up with a realistic plan to spread my work out so that I'm not here past the time
you're supposed to leave? Another one to really factor in is take your actual breaks.
Take
sitting at the desk and eating breaks. Food. Stop doing that. Take your break outside of the building. I used to do that when I was really like at my corporate job. I had a bad habit of doing working lunches. So what I would do instead is I would sit at my desk and eat, but I would clock out for my lunch break and take a walk around the parking lot just to get out in nature. Do things like that. Find nearby places where you could enjoy nature. Like if there's like some place where there's like grass and stuff, maybe pack yourself like a little picnic blanket and take your lunch break outside.
Go outside.
Also, because I know some people don't work jobs where they get a lot of PTO and things like that. Again, take your breaks. Also, find ways to like romanticize your life. I know this sounds so corny, but something as simple as like on your off day doing something that you've like never done before. And like we said earlier, getting comfortable letting those dishes sit. Getting comfortable.
Run your dishwasher twice, bitch. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know Caribbean people don't trust dishwashers, but listen, you hand washing dishes for what? Put a fucking dishwasher on if you ain't clean enough, dishwasher. Run that bitch twice.
But like if you're really in a position to maybe outsource some of them chores, I'm telling you, it's a godsend. Let them people do the laundry. But find ways to do, especially if you can't really afford to like do fun activities, find things that are free. You'd be surprised how many free, especially now that it's warm out. There's so many free fun things to do. A lot of cities tend to have like free movies in the park, free jazz festivals. And even if you're not able to do that, research like really cool like national parks near you and then just like drive out there and hang out there. Like I don't drive because I live in like a metro city, but there's this really gorgeous park in the state that I live in that randomly popped up on my TikTok. And I went to their website and I was like, oh, this is a pretty park. It's gorgeous. And guess what? Something told me, let me see if there's a train that runs there. So there's a train from my main train station that I go to that runs there. It's an hour and a half train ride. And I'm making it an entire adventure. I was like, I'm going to make a day of this shit. I'm going to pack me a little backpack with some food. I'm going to throw my roller. Give yourself a day. And guess what? That shit, the only thing I'm going to really be paying for is the train ticket to get there. I'm going to pack me a book. Make sure I have my like a portable charger and everything. But I'm going to grab my rollerblades. I'm going to pack a lunch. I'm going to go to this part. I'm going to ride an hour and a half on the train just so I could get that experience of doing something different for myself. And I'm a rollerblade around the park. And then I'm going to find a cute spot, lay out, eat my lunch, enjoy. And then I'm going to hop my ass back on the train and come back home. Yeah. And that might end up being like a 6-hour day. But guess what? It's something special for me.
And it's for exactly. It's for you. And it's time that you're dedicating to yourself.
To myself. And so do little things like that for you. And I'm doing it by myself. I'm not even inviting anybody. So do little things like that for yourself. You'd be surprised. Like those fun little things, like it's lit and it's worth it. And the same way you could dedicate majority of your day to like work. Mm-hmm. Dedicate majority of your day just to doing something nice for yourself. And that's another thing.
It could be something as simple. Sorry to cut you off. It could be something as simple as changing the way that you go about your day-to-day routine to make sure that you're spending more time catering to yourself. Like, a lot of us don't eat in the morning. A lot of us don't rush through getting ready in the morning, and it's a very, like, hectic process. A lot of us don't have a sort of decompression routine when it's time to go to bed. Like, yeah, of course, you probably don't take a shower and like change your clothes or whatever and go sleep. And
brush your teeth.
But are you decompressing in the shower? Are you stretching your body out at the end of the day and getting rid of tension in your neck and in your back? Like, are you listening to music that might calm you? Are you lotioning your fucking skin with intention? I'm going on a rant now, but Steven was lotioning his arm, right? And
he was going so fast that I was like, can you slow the fuck down when you lotioning? You're like, why are you lotioning your skin? He was just like, you know, just getting ready.
He just wanted to get through it. Yeah.
He just wanted to get through it. And I'm like, babe, slow down. So he was like, what? I'm just putting lotion. I said, Steven, you're doing something for your body and you rushing through it. Like, slow down in life in general. Stop eating so fucking fast. Stop putting on your lotion so fucking fast. Like, he's a very, like, you know,
he just wants to get through it.
He just, and that's the thing. He's an engineer. His whole thing is efficiency. His whole thing is doing things in a timely manner. But when I talked to him about it, I was like, dude, it's the end of the day. You winding down. You about to get in bed. Where are you going? Slow. Like, find your lotion at a normal rate.
Like, I just, why you have to be so aggressive about it? Because she's like, dude, it's the end of the day. Like,
that's really how I would have talked to that man too. I'm so sorry.
Like, how am I supposed to relax to decompress when you screaming at me about?
You know what? I hate to be on my ass about that. You're right. But if I see how he to do shit, I'd have just be like, Steven, just slow down. Jesus Christ. Like, just slow down. But even stuff like that, like, the up to the way we don't put on our lotion, up to the way we don't get ready for walking in the morning, every fucking thing is a rush. Everything is a rush. That of course you burn out. Of course you're burnt out.
And you know what else? Another thing to look at, because the average like working person works 5 days out of a 7 day week, right? Mm-hmm. And then those two off days usually are like errands, right? Mm-hmm. Try to use at least one of those off days to do nothing.
You remember?
Do what you feel like doing. Late sleep in, don't leave the bed, order it. Mm-hmm. Do, like, and even if you have chores to do, fuck them chores. Fuck who gonna beat them your chores. Ass? Your mama is not gonna come barging in the room and beat your ass in the middle of the night for not washing them dishes.
Like, fuck them chores, man.
Fuck that shit. Relax.
You remember the day I went to her Instagram, right? And I was laying in my bed. I was like, I'll wrap up in the blankets. And I was like, you working 40 hours a week for these people and then coming home and doing more free labor. I was like, how fucking dumb is that? Go to sleep. Like, I was just rambling. But maybe I was talking to my current self. Like,
probably.
Because it's true. Like, we're doing so much for these people. And it's valid. You should want to do a good job. You have to earn your money somehow. But at what point do you give yourself, like, what's the point of all of it? What is the point of all of it? And if you're telling yourself, oh, I'm burnt out now so that I could get my rest. I walk in now because I have a vacation coming at the end of July. That's okay, bitch, now what if a Vitran decide that vacation ain't coming? And if you
thank
don't
you guys for Vitran, tuning in.
I just being real. What if you get hit by a bus? Imagine you get hit by a bus and the last thing you were doing was fucking sitting at work for 9 hours when they'll only pay you for 8.
Guys,
obviously nobody wants to get hit by a bus, but the reality is...
No, because now I'm thinking about all the things that I will not have done lately if I got hit by a bus tonight. Like,
I mean, I'm going to be real. I'm taking it back to COVID. Things got really morbid for a second there. And I was like, dude, why if I had gotten it worse and I had died and my last fucking PTO day was 2 months ago? Like,
And that's a big part of why I ended up leaving my job. Because I took my time off so that I could focus on my health, my mental health and everything. I get sick as the time off starts and I don't know what the fuck is going on with me. And I'm like, is this how it's going to end? Like, and then I had to really be real with myself and said, D, if you die right now, you're not going to be happy with the circumstances of your life.
No.
Like, you got to make some shit shake. So
that's why people will be like, you ain't creating content anymore. You don't have the Masha company anymore. You don't do this. You're not like as present on social media.
Because you're one person. Fuck y'all.
I'm not present on Instagram because I'm present in life, dog. Like, I want to sit here and read my book. And yes, sometimes I want to create content about it because it's fun. But sometimes I fucking don't. I don't.
That makes me so happy. Remember when we did that? Remember that episode we did a couple years ago and I was like the only one who couldn't really relate to like the pressures of posting online? Because I'm like,
listen, the pandemic, I went through this whole metamorphosis of, oh my God, I don't feel like creating anymore. Something wrong with me. All that was wrong with me was that I realized how short life is. And I asked myself, do I really want to spend 8 hours out of my day checking my Instagram to make sure that my last post got the level of like insights that I need? Like,
Right. I don't so care. Let me ask you this, because this is the space I've been at for a few years now. Have you turned off your notifications?
Oh, my notifications were always off.
Okay, because I've never, like, I don't have any, like, when I tell you none of my social media notifications are on.
Well, let me not say always. I turned off my notifications in 2020 at the start of the pandemic, because I realized that I was so just on my phone because there was nothing else to do. I turned off everything and I never turned them back on.
Yeah, I love it this way to
live your life.
Because then for me, the way I see it is I'm not being summoned.
So many of us are experiencing burnout right now because, again, the wall is on fire. Yeah. And then we go into walk and walk is on fire. And like, you're not, there's no space in between any of it. Yeah. And I know a lot of it feels like I don't have time to create this space for myself. But again, who are you doing all of this for? One, who gonna beat your ass? But two, who you doing all of this for? If it's not for you, if it's not for your benefit, and you could say, oh, I doing this for my family, or I doing this for my kids. Fuck them kids. Because guess what? You going to give all your energy and all your shit and all of that to them. And then when they grow up and they have the opportunity to really fully appreciate you, you're going to be 75 with fucking high blood pressure. And then they're going to be burnt out because they have to take care of your ass.
And then they're going to, after you die, they're going to sell the house you worked so hard to buy.
But not even that. It's like your kid is going to be their own person someday. Absolutely. Obviously, yes. Yeah. Pour all your energy into them. Do what you need to do. Same thing with your spouse. Yes, you might want to do all of these things for your spouse and make sure your spouse feels loved and all of that. But the best way to show up for other people is to show up for yourself.
Yes. And you know, like, listen, you know, the phrase that we all love is you can't pour from an empty cup.
You can't pour from an empty fucking.
I'm going to tell you what I always tell my clients, especially because I deal with a lot of clients who experience burnout. I always say, instead of pouring outward, you pour inward and allow yourself to overflow and let people benefit from that overflow.
You think we would have gotten Renaissance if Beyonce didn't take a fucking break? Be serious.
Be for real.
Fucking for real. I ain't got nothing else to say. If I don't take that fucking PTO, I swear.
Use your PTO. Please use your PTO. I'm begging.
Matter of fact, use it. All of my Twitter followers who listen to Good Up after this episode, I want you to go on Twitter and tell me when is your next set of vacation time or PTO coming up. And if it's more than a month out, I gain on your ass publicly on Twitter. And I'm going to ask
you,
why?
Y'all need to come on Twitter and tell us what your PTO balance is.
And if it's over 40 hours, bitch?
If it's over 40 hours, we are fighting. Y'all, we already said enough problematic things tonight. please forgive us and tune in next week where we will not be as problematic.
Yeah, tune in next week. We might be. Don't listen to the detail. We might be very problematic. We might. Tune in next week for another episode of the Good Up Motherfucking Podcast. Help us keep the lights on in this bitch. Deidre on her ASMR fucking mic.
I want an ASMR episode so bad.
Deidre wants to do a fully ASMR episode of Good Up. And I hear for that. I might do that shit. Except I gonna can't let... Who gonna edit? Because I hate audio ASMR.
You don't like the song?
I can't stand it. Somebody else gonna have to edit. Or I gonna just like put a fuck up like on editing.
Sand? You don't like that? We can do it unedited.
I like certain
the sound
songs.
Of like sand.
So like, hear me out.
Listen.
I hate the sound of human chewing. Like, I don't like to hear chewing, but I would watch a panda bear chewing? Eat some fucking all day.
No, I because listen, there's like, this rabbit.
I'm a trance.
Same. There's this rabbit on YouTube that I follow, and I love listening to that baby eat.
Just
crunching. Oh my God, he was smacking on some blueberries. It was cute.
You
and
need
his
to
little
go
face
watch.
Was blue.
You need to go watch a panda bear eat carrots. I tell you, you're going to be just in trance all night. Anyway.
So let's do this. So we'll do the ASMR, but we won't, just for your sanity, I will not bring like the food, right? Even though I want to.
We could just do it. Because
I just want to excuse it. But we'll like scrape the thing. I'll bring like one of those plates with sand and then the tiny rake.
You can imagine though, at some point in the episode when I'm like, at the end of the day, okay. Nobody gonna beat your ass. Exactly. Fuck that bitch. Because you're grown and you need to decide your life. Okay, we need to go. Fucking go. Help us keep the lights on to do dumb shit like this on a weekly basis by going over to our Patreon, where you can get a full video of every episode, also bonus content that's coming back this season as well. It's patreon.com/goodup podcast. We're on social at goodup pod. We're on Facebook at goodup pod. Just find we, beep we if you want to reach we, and if not, leave a review on Apple, because those help too.
A lot. Those help. It's a lot. Lit over here. Yeah, it's lit. And the Patreon gets to see Hayes's gorgeous curls, and they get to see how my hair has changed for the 75th time on this show.
I kind of want to do a compilation of like your hair across all this.
My hair has changed so much. Yeah. Even when you do compilations of one season, I have so many different hairstyles. Yeah. So yeah, just go ahead and join the Patreon. Thank you to our existing patrons. Y'all be keeping the lights
Shout
on.
Out to you.
And y'all fully prevented me from like quitting this show because I didn't like the setup of my studio.
They lit. I mean, they honestly kept the show going because we have my computer set up now, because I almost lost my computer. So
all of that. So thank you guys. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for your constant support. You guys for always bigging us up online, for Shout listening. Like y'all really fuck with us, and that's crazy. And we Shout love y'all for that. So thank you.
All right, girl. See y'all next week. Deidre, tell the people and bye.
Bye.
This season of the Good Up Podcast is sponsored by Empath Psychological Services. The Good Up Podcast is Black woman hosted and produced by Deidre Ritter and Hayaiza Quinones Ivory. Find us on all social media platforms at Good Up Pod. Tag us using the hashtag Good Up Tuesday and join the VIP section over on Patreon for exclusive bonus content at patreon.com/goodup podcast.